Welcome to another episode of Salesforce Trails and Trials, where we help you accelerate your career and turn soft skills into hard money by mining gold from project failures, bringing insights from ecosystem experts, and inspiration from others on the trail. Now joining us with over 20 years in the ecosystem, please welcome our host, John Klein.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Salesforce Trails and Trials. And today we are very excited to hear kind of the trailblazer story and account from Jeff Lovin. He is a graduate of our DevPod program and People First Method. So lots of great things to share. And we're excited to hear about his journey even long before he came in contact with us. There's so many good things here. And I know you will enjoy learning about it as well. So welcome, Jeff.
Hey, thank you. Great to be here. Excited to have another conversation, John.
Love it. Always look for opportunities. That's why I love what I do. I just get to find more ways to connect with people I like.
Yeah. And you're so good at it. You're so good at it.
Well, I appreciate it. So I thought we'd just give people a little context today before we step back into kind of your history. And sure. Now that you've had a Salesforce role for a while, you've been promoted actually within the first year, which is exciting. And as you see the marketplace today, I think a lot of people are seeing things kind of shift and move. I'm just curious what your thoughts are on kind of the current market, maybe how it's changed from when you started this journey a couple of years ago, based on things are happening in the market. What are you observing today?
Yeah, great question. When I jumped into this world or started the journey of jumping into the Salesforce world, there was a clear path to becoming a Salesforce admin. That's one of the things, and we can talk about this a little bit later if you'd like, but that's one of the things that drew me to Salesforce, desiring to make a career transition. There was a clear path for folks who were outside of the tech space, becoming useful, valuable admins in the Salesforce space. And that's the path that I was on until landing with DevPod, of course. But that path has changed even in the last year and a half, it seems, where the economy and the changes happening in the economy are forcing changes up the chain from small business to mid-enterprise to enterprise-level companies. And there isn't so clear a pathway anymore for somebody to simply, I think, decide that they want to step into the Salesforce space. And if you follow these steps in this order, it will yield your ability to step into the Salesforce space. There's a lot going on right now all over the news related to tech layoffs, and that certainly is happening around the Salesforce world. But I, for example, work for a firm that continues to hire even in the midst of this, and we're not alone in that. There are other firms that are doing the same thing. And I think a lot of that has to do with who they're looking for and not just what they're looking for. And so while the pathway, I don't think, is as clear as it perhaps was for a newbie like I was a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, there is a path. It's just a little bit less obvious. And it has a whole lot more to do with who you are and how you go about being who you are in the Salesforce space and in the marketplace in general. And I think less about what it is you need to do in the order in which you need to do those things.
Yeah, it's like it's a little bit less of kind of a standard operating procedure now, and a little bit more, there's a little more variety and contextual nature to it. Yeah, that's good feedback. And I know our listeners, as they look to find either their first or next position in the ecosystem, that's an important thing to consider. And, you know, you didn't mention it specifically, but I talk about role erosion related to AI. And I think that's a very significant impact. Everybody needs to know how to wield that and where they can, you know, build more island as part of their, you know, professional island gets eroded and given over to, you know, an AI team. So very good. Let's go back a little bit and figure out, you know, how you got here. I think your story is fascinating and really probably, you know, contributes a lot to why you are so good and doing such a great job in your current role. But I'm just curious, take us back kind of in your professional world and where did your journey start?
Sure. Yeah, happy to. I really enjoy sharing this story because it's always fun to reflect on how you landed where you did and the people that were such an important and meaningful part of that along the way. Prior to stepping into the Salesforce world, I spent 17 years at the same place. I spent 17 years working at a church. The vast majority of the 15 of those, I was on executive leadership in various roles. The last 10 years or so, I was in a role, a creative role, where I had the opportunity to oversee music, technology, IT, video, broadcast, things of that nature, graphic design. That really scratched the itch inside of me related to technology. I've always been an early adopter. I've always loved jumping onto those bandwagons super early and knowing what's going on and what's out there. And so when it became clear to my wife and I that it was time to make a change, technology was an obvious choice. I knew that I was going to be stepping out of something that I had known, and something that I had a ton of experience in and was able to bring a ton of value in that space, and I'd be stepping into something new, and none of those operators were guaranteed to be true. And so technology seemed like an immediate potential point of overlap between my existing skills and experience and where I might want to go. What happened with that is there was really three things going on in my world. First of all, was I needed to make more money. That's a really pretty simple one, kind of nuts and bolts.
Very unique, you know.
Yeah, right. My family was growing. The economy was imploding. And, I've got four kids, and our youngest has special needs. And it was clear because of his needs in managing his care team that she wasn't going to be able to step back into the workplace anytime soon. So I needed to be able to make more money. Pretty straightforward. Another piece is after 17 years in church leadership, where you're on call all the time and you're expected to be out multiple nights a week, I and my wife were ready for that not to be true of me and of our schedules anymore, And so I wanted something with more flexibility and predictability in that way. And then the third piece was really a much lesser reality, but it was there. And I was simply ready for a change. I'd been doing the same thing for almost 20 years and was ready to switch it up a little bit. So what happened is my wife's longtime college friend has been a Salesforce consultant at Accenture for a long time. My wife mentioned to her that I was thinking about a change and was just about landed on the tech sector. And she said, "Whoa, yeah, I mean, tell Jeff about Salesforce. I think it'd be a great fit for his personality and, the way he loves to connect with people and communicate and lead teams. And there's a couple roles, in this world that I think would be a great fit." So, unbeknownst to me, this conversation is happening. My wife is like researching Salesforce, and I'm just going about my world, my day. And one evening in the kitchen, she's like, "Hey, Sarah sent this along. I'm going to forward you an article. I did a little research and I agree with her. I think it'd be a great fit." So she's been researching this Salesforce thing unbeknownst to me. She mentions it in the kitchen one night and says, "Hey, you should check this out. And I did a little research. I agree with my friend. I think it'd be a great fit for you." I said, "Okay, whatever." So that Friday, which was my day off at the time, I spent about 3 or 4 hours at the local Panera on my laptop, just sort of creeping Salesforce and Trailhead, and specifically the admin role. And I was like, "Okay." I didn't see anything that I considered a burnt orange or red flag. And I was like, "All right." And that honestly launched me into every Friday, I'd spend 3 to 6 hours on Trailhead and sort of researching the ecosystem and what opportunities were in the ecosystem. And that led me to two things: a career development program, which I did for a year. It was really designed to have you execute these steps in this order and land a Salesforce admin job. At the same time, I was working on developing a network via LinkedIn. And you and I, John, have a mutual friend, and he saw, and I'm very good friends with his son, had been leading his son in a variety of areas at the church through the years. And so he was friends with me on LinkedIn and saw that I was trying to step into the Salesforce world, and he immediately calls me. And it had been months since I'd spoken to him on the phone. He said, "Jeff, I've got this guy. He's like the Salesforce guru. I have to put you in touch with him." And I said, "Okay,
Sounds like
sure."
Daniel.
Yeah. Yeah. And says, "Sure." And so we got connected. And so this was about the time that I was finishing up the career development program. I had just earned my admin certification through Trailhead, and I met you. And after a few weeks of back and forth, and I think you sort of observing me and feeling me out and trying to figure out a little bit about who I was and what I was about, you graciously invited me to be part of your DevPod team. And that was really probably the biggest threshold in me crossing from a previous career into a new career in the Salesforce ecosystem, was your invitation to be part of the DevPod team. And the experience that I gained there through DevPod, hard skills experience, soft skills experience, team experience, really the whole package, was really what took me from somebody who wanted to do this and was being given an opportunity, and it helped me become somebody who could actually add value to a team working with Salesforce.
Awesome. What a cool story. So I'm curious, what were some of the other options that you also considered? I mean, you were thinking about the tech sector. I'm curious, what other areas were you also considering and comparing?
That's an interesting question. I hadn't thought about that in a very long time until I was thinking about what I might want to share with you here on our interview today. And two things really surfaced in my previous world, working with technology within the church. I developed a ton of local relationships around production technology, live production technology, sound, lighting, projection, things of that nature. And because of COVID and having to help our church navigate how to communicate with people in a helpful fashion during COVID, I had to go from 0 to 100 in video skills very rapidly. And so I considered starting my own live production company here locally. There's a variety of those already, so there was going to be competition right out the gate. And I also actually took the first few months and put in some hustle and put in some work at spooling up my own video editing company, and had some contracts, did some of that actually. And while I love that, it was clear to me that it was going to very likely remain a side hustle, and I was going to need to keep my existing job in the church and try and do these things on the side. And ultimately, that was going to work against flexibility, predictability, the things that were really significant parts of me wanting to make a shift to begin with. And unlike stepping into a new space where I might be part of a team in a company with a salary and some stability and predictability, having a side hustle in the tech space may or may not yield additional income in a consistent fashion. So those were the things that I really noodled on and ultimately decided, while they might be fun and I might eventually be really great at them, I probably didn't have the space capacity to do that now. So this other option, that I became aware of with the Salesforce deal really became the prime option for me.
That's cool. I'm curious, as you think about, there's a lot of people on this journey. Whether it's their first position or their kind of next as they try and move higher, that they wonder what the finish line. Have you thought about your experience with what we now call the People First Academy, which is where you started, and then ultimately you graduated to the commercial team at DevPod for Salesforce Partners? That I'm just curious, like when you thought about, all right, even after you have that kind of paced experience, that's the benefit of working in our program, is that you can kind of slowly take on the things at your own pace that you feel you can. It's a safe place to fail, make mistakes, right? We look for safe mistakes to learn from, because we definitely learn from duress more than we learn from other means. But I'm curious, as you thought about graduating to one of our partners and getting a full-time position, what were those boxes that you kind of felt like you needed to check off to know that, I think I'm ready for the next level, to kind of graduate to my next echelon of opportunity.
Yeah, that's a great question. There was sort of two categories for me, and one of them had to do with my baseline of Salesforce ability. In the world of clients now, we often call this our MVP, right? Our minimum viable product. There was an MVP element to me. I needed to be a minimum viable product in that I could step in and immediately add value rather than needing to spend time spooling up to get to a place where I could add value. And like you said, that's one of the many benefits of being part of your program. And even on the commercial team, that pacing you were talking about allowed me to do that. It allowed me to develop that baseline of skills so that I would be able to add value. And the trigger point for me there in the hard skills aspect was I got to a place where I felt like with the vast majority of things being thrown at me and asked of me, and in the things I was being invited to on the commercial team there at DevPod, I was able to step in and immediately add some kind of value. Whereas in the early months, I was doing a lot of learning and growing. There was a lot more handholding going on, and I'm very thankful for that opportunity, but it was the investment was flowing more in the direction of me rather than me in the direction of DevPod. And toward the end, I felt like that was far more commensurate, and I was able to add value, and I felt like, okay, I think I could do the same thing at this point in potentially more Salesforce spaces than not. The other trigger point for me had to do with soft skills, honestly. You know, one of the things that was a positive about the world that I stepped out of was I came preloaded with a ton of team leadership management experience, a ton of project management experience. but the relationship between those things and people in the Salesforce world was something I needed to learn. Consulting, reading the room, understanding the intricate relationship between clients and their projects and the consultancy, a way of being as a person in the Salesforce space that is not only value adding to other people, but respectful and contributing. And, you know, for me, these are very important values because one of the values of my life that's part of my own worldview is that people are what matter. Everything else comes second to people. And I immediately perceived this about the way that People First Academy and then DevPod commercial team was operating. People were the bottom line, and it so happened to be that we were doing this really fascinating and fun work with Salesforce. In many ways, the things we were doing with Salesforce was a means to the end of helping people be the best version of themselves within their companies so that their companies could be the best version of their companies. And I arrived at a place where sort of the material that we were moving through together that we would call people first material, it was no longer foreign to me. Rather than it, again, coming from the outside in and me receiving that and saying, yeah, this is good. This is fascinating. I love this. It became a more natural part of how I interacted, and it was coming from the inside out. And even without me realizing it in real time, it was indeed informing all of my work and my client interactions and my interactions internally with the team. And for me, that was also a point at which I began to realize, okay, I think I could bring this to a variety of spaces, not just the one that I'm in. And I began to feel like, okay, I think it's time for the next step. I think I'm ready to take these things and expand them out and continue this journey.
That's good. And as you described that prior to joining our program, you had participated in another in a more tactical program. And so, there's several out there, Clicked, there's Talent Stacker, there's a few out there. I'm curious, as you think about, people are looking to grow, right, on all sides of their professional life. And, the data shows the expectation is that this ecosystem is supposed to double again in size within the next 8 years. That's good news for all of us, of course.
Sure.
But I'm curious, as you look to that program and then our program and how they kind of complement one another, just to provide clarity for people kind of in your journey. And I think what I love about what you're doing is there's a lot of people who have the same need as it relates to making midlife transitions. Like we all know, we've had prior people who were pastors who became and are now, Salesforce leads. Yourself coming in from you were a pastor in some capacity, also having this audiovisual component. There's a lot of veterans who are coming out and needing to kind of transition into civilian life. And so just kind of providing some clarity into, these kind of tactical programs as well as these, kind of intangible soft skills programs and how you feel like they kind of complemented one another as people are thinking about which choice they might make, in their life and kind of in sequence.
Yep, that's a great question. And I love to talk about that because I think there's space for all of these programs, and they do provide different levels and kinds of value, really. So I joined the Talent Stacker Career Development Program prior to getting connected to you and People First and DevPod. And it has changed tremendously since, 2 years ago when I first encountered it and decided to join it. At that time, it was really focused on helping people who were entirely outside of the ecosystem make a transition into it in the form of an entry-level or junior Salesforce admin. And it had a very proven process, highly tactical, a series of steps taken in a particular order, being mindful of very specific things along the way as you moved forward. And they have story after story to back this up. Far more often than not, they were able to take somebody like me and land them their first ecosystem job as a entry-level or junior Salesforce admin in 1 year to 18 months. If you were willing to hustle, and they were very upfront about that no, this requires hustle. It's not magic. It's not a guarantee. It gave me a pathway, a set of rails to run on. Prior to encountering that, I was sitting in Panera drinking delicious coffee and eating yummy bread and playing with Trailhead. And while that's not a terrible use of time, it certainly could have been more structured. And that's what Talent Stacker brought to me is here's a pathway, here's a set of steps to get you certified and to get over that first set of hurdles. What it doesn't focus on, and it's not intended to focus on, is who you are and your manner of being as a person in a Salesforce role in the Salesforce ecosystem. We might call this soft skills. We might call this a combination of soft skills and worldview. And that is what People First brought to me in working within your commercial team there at DevPod. That is the differentiator. And I needed both. I needed that concrete tactical pathway, and I needed to be able to take my natural leadership, management, peopling ability and to hone it into a way of being in the Salesforce space specifically. And as I think about what that did for me, I'm confident that I would have been able to land a job as an admin doing admin things, executing upon an admin set of tasks, adding some value in that way, adding people first, and pursuing an in-depth honing of my soft skills as it relates especially to Salesforce and any role within the ecosystem. And honestly, I would say any role that we fill in any area of our life. But since we're talking about Salesforce here, any role in the ecosystem, you can find a tactical approach that will teach you things that will get you hired if you're willing to hustle. I really believe that. And I have friends that I've made in the last year and a half in the ecosystem that are living proof of that. If you want to be increasingly valuable, if you want to be able to move farther, faster, if you want to be viewed almost immediately as an invaluable team player and resource, you're going to need more, especially as competitive as the marketplace and Salesforce has grown, as the economy has shifted and has become more challenging. If you want all of those things, you got to have soft skills on top of your hard skills. You're always going to need a baseline of technical ability and knowledge. If you want to excel, you got to have soft skills in place. And those really come to the fore, honestly. Right now, what I'm seeing and reading is for any given quality Salesforce job opening, right now, there are hundreds of applicants within the first 48 hours. So, how do you differentiate yourself? Maybe you and 175 other applicants have a baseline of technical knowledge that's very commensurate, very similar. How do you differentiate yourself against other people who might even be a touch more qualified than you, who might have more experience than you? Well, I was able to do something like that because of my soft skills. I was invited to join a company that I love dearly and I very much enjoy working at, and I'm a huge advocate for. And the reason that I had that invitation when they could have found somebody else more qualified than me is because of what I brought in terms of soft skills and leadership, my way of being a person and a human being within a team in the Salesforce space. And far and away, I think that's the value of your approach, John, and the people first approach is that it helps people move past things that are purely technical into a whole new opportunity and ability, really, to bring value as a person and through a way of being among other people, such that it benefits your team, benefits those people, benefits the company.
Yeah, I mean, another way to use kind of a mountain climbing metaphor, I think about a Salesforce consultant or an admin or, any kind of Salesforce role, they're kind of like the Sherpa, helping users up the mountain. And when it comes to your own employment, it sounds like, there's many tactical tools that can bring you in and get you in at the 500 feet and you start climbing, which is great. You're on the mountain, right? You're employed, you're moving on up. But if you could do a few things and say, what if I could enter at 5,000 feet? That makes my trip up the 14er, a lot more, like I'm starting out at a position that's much higher and my likelihood of getting to the peak is much greater. And I probably have a lot more satisfaction and a lot more energy and all of that. So I love the emphasis and how they, they work together,
They do, yeah.
right? And they complement each other. That's good. So I'm curious as far as, when you think back on these various programs or, the timeline of you getting to where you are today, we've talked in general terms around specific elements and such, but I'm just curious if there were some specific kind of aha moments that you look back, which were really meaningful. Maybe they were something unexpected that happened, during a client meeting, or maybe there was something that you found, wow, there was a lot of value here. I didn't realize it at the time, but now I see that was a rough diamond that I didn't quite recognize. And now, right, I make that thing shine all the time.
Yeah, man, I love that. That's a great question. Yeah, I think I do have a couple of those right off the top of my head. My expectation stepping in to the marketplace after almost 20 years in the nonprofit and religious world was that it was going to be sort of a clinical, non-personal, at times harsh kind of space. And I'm sure that does exist, unfortunately. One of the things that immediately changed my perspective that that's not simply the way it was the team that you had built in the commercial side of DevPod. We were providing value to clients. That's important, right? We were growing in our skills, but what you had built was a team, not just a handful of people who were good at unique things that they brought to the space. You had built a team of people who were able to execute at a higher level on the functions of their job because of the team they were part of, because of the relationships that were built, because of the culture that was there. And I was shocked in a great way so fast that the level of not just camaraderie, but sometimes things are going to happen that don't go the way you want them to go, right? And there was an environment there where, regardless of what that was, no one was ever going to be left standing on their own, cleaning up a mess that maybe we did make, or maybe we were partially responsible for making. Nobody was ever going to be left standing there by themselves in front of the client to bear the brunt of that. It was always we, it was never me. And that was shocking to me. And that immediately taught me that it's possible in this world that I'm stepping into to have that. Whereas I don't know that I would have labeled it possible to have that, but it certainly was unexpected. And what that did for me was sort of plant a flag in me in the form of a non-negotiable, that if I was going to work in this space, it was going to be in an environment like this. And when the time came to jump to a different opportunity or team or company, it was going to be like this. And I was going to wait it out until I found something like this because it's possible. And ultimately, our ability to deliver with excellence to the client went up because of it. So that was one thing right out the gate.
Yeah, and I want to highlight one aspect of that because it's beautiful. And I actually didn't know that, which is great to hear you describe it even after, all of our time working together. What I love about that is in the same way that you're evaluating any given product or service to buy, right? You have your buying criteria. This is what I want. This is what I want in a car. This is what I want in a house, whatever it might be. And you're going to wait and you're going to look around and be patient until you find that. I think that attitude that you have now taken on of planting a flag and saying this is a non-negotiable, it It gives such confidence and credence to your professional identity. Because now it's not that you are out there looking for a job and willing to do whatever anybody asks, because every job description at the bottom says, or whatever else we might ask you to do, right? I love it because it raises the bar for companies out there, for Salesforce partners, right? For Salesforce hiring managers and developer leads and delivery leads and all of this, to create this environment that really achieves the buying criteria of a very confident and a delivery-oriented person like yourself, who is ready to do something amazing for that business and on behalf of the customers of that company, but will only do so in a way that is within a culture and value set that brings the best out of everybody, makes it safe to fail, makes it safe to say we don't know, right? And ultimately recognizes, I love that you're never having to stand alone, even if it was 100% your fault. Because that's just not what we do. Right. And I love that. I hope many more people who are listening take that in confidence and say, this is what you should be demanding of the companies that you go to work for, is that you begin to ask them. We actually have a great last two podcast episodes ago, we talked about how to prepare for your Salesforce interview. And that is a great one to review on this topic, because these are the kind of questions you want to be asking of your potential employer to see, am I walking into a room on fire? Like the meme says, it's fine, right? Am I walking into a cultural fire, or am I walking into something where I really can't fail? If I do my part, if I put in the work, if I learn, I can't fail, because it's definitely possible. So I just want to highlight that. It's a really good point.
The other piece I think I'd offer up there in response to your question, the other has to do with the function of what I do on the daily in the Salesforce space. Several months into my DevPod commercial team tenure, one of our team members requested a early morning call with me, and I said sure, because I was starting my workday 5:30 at that time, for DevPod, and we had a call, and he said, "Hey, I need to step back. I've been trying to do too much right now, and I just need to take a breather and focus a little bit more on some other areas. And so I want you to step into the product owner role for this client that I've been filling that role in." And I said, "Okay," or something to that effect. And stepping into all of this, I was very keen on learning the technical piece. I enjoy playing with technology, as it were, becoming highly skilled at that and being able to do that with excellence. And then the consulting piece that I very quickly fell in love with after getting connected to your team, John. What I didn't expect was to be able to discover and carve out a niche in the space that combines the ability to do technical things well and to manage people and projects and bring leadership also in equal parts. And of course, those percentages flex on during the season, the relationship with the client, project, so forth. But that was a surprise as well. And I discovered almost immediately that I'm good at that. I'm good at sort of morphing those two things together. And even more importantly, I really enjoyed it. And so over the next several months, as I had the opportunity to do that and to try and fail and to grow in skills and experience in that way, I discovered that until further notice, nothing's ever set in stone, but until further notice, this is what I wanted to do in the Salesforce space. And that's what I do now in the Salesforce space, in the company that I work for, is I manage people and teams and projects, and I do some technical things, and it's sort of a Swiss Army knifing of all of those things together in different capacities and workloads at any given time, but I love it. I really enjoy it. And I trace that back to that early morning phone call with that team member there on DevPod. Until that moment, I had only been on the outside looking in of that kind of role as somebody on the team who's primary role was to simply do the things that I was being asked to do, which was totally okay. I was really enjoying doing that. So that was another really pivotal moment. That was sort of an aha and a surprise that has shaped the last, well, it's over a year now, of my trajectory in the ecosystem.
Wow. Well, it's good. And certainly it's to your credit because you stepped up and you delivered. That was a very demanding project, and as they can be. But yeah, well done. And I think another point of learning there is trying to find environments, right? Because there are lots of different titles for these roles, right? So if you think about a Salesforce role, right? Some people call them consultants, they call them business analysts, they might call them, engineers, right? Admins, architects, right? There's all kinds of different titles that, and even some companies have these very proprietary terms, associates or, partners, leads. There's all kinds of names that people have for them. And it's hard to know sometimes what exactly that role will entail on a day-to-day basis. And so finding an environment where you can actually navigate, have it be a little bit at your pace, and find your way into almost an experimental capacity where I'd like to try this on. I'd like to see if this is something, because I think I heard from you, it wasn't really expected. One, you didn't necessarily know that role existed. And if you saw it, because you saw someone else doing it, it wasn't obvious that that's something that I would really love and be satisfied doing. It wasn't until you stepped into it that you found out, oh, I really like this. And now we're able to move and doing that into, kind of a more permanent capacity in a full-time role. And so I think it's really good for those listening is to find those avenues where you can have that experimental element. Like, I'd love to try that on without having to commit to doing that all day, every day for the foreseeable future. Right? Because they're out there. Certainly our program provides that, right? We have a People First Academy for getting kind of pre-work experience. And there may be others. And I would just encourage people to find those vehicles because you don't want to find yourself in a job that you're like, okay, I could do this, but I absolutely hate this. And
Oh,
now
for
I'm
sure.
committed to it and I have to go through that whole process again, right? To finding another role. Because ultimately people can see that, right? They can see that sometimes I'm phoning it in, I'm not giving my best work, I'm not the most creative person, I'm not really investing in, kind of in ideation or innovation in this role, I'm not improving it. You don't want to be in that kind of a role. You want to be in a role that really brings out the best in you so that you can contribute in a way that when you put your head on the pillow at night, you feel like I gave it my best today.
100%. And that's one of the things that, in hindsight, the gift of reflection, I really appreciate about the program that you've built and you lead is the opportunities that are part and parcel like that to try something with the freedom to fail and also not have it be forever. And that's also one of the things that I really value in the workplace now. I continue to have the privilege of working in a space now at the company that I work for that has adopted a similar approach that, part of the way that our conversations go multiple times a year when we're talking with our supervisors and trajectory and being reviewed and all those things is, are you happy doing what you're doing? Are there other areas in the company you would like to explore? Would you like to morph the role you're in to better fit? And I'm thankful that I experienced that and that I get to continue to experience that. And I guess the word that I would offer in echoing what you're saying is find that. Seek it out. The needs of life and finances are real, and we have to pay attention to them. But insofar as we're able to, I think we would all do well to seek that kind of thing out and to be patient enough to keep at it until we find it. Because our ability to be fulfilled as human beings who are working and part of that environment, there's a direct connection there. If work isn't a constant drain, then we have more reserved in our tank to be the best version of ourselves for ourselves, our families, our spouses, our friends, our neighborhoods, whatever it might be. And I just think that's worth the effort and it's worth the wait.
I agree. So as you think about the next year or two in your career, what are some aspirations and, some areas you really want to grow into?
That's I've been thinking on that actually, because it's something I was just asked by my boss a little bit ago. So I would really love in the next couple years to have gained enough experience and ability to bring value as a person who leads the team of people who fill the role that I fill. So my role is called an engagement manager in the company that I work for. A lot of places would call it a project manager. Some might call it a product owner. It sort of morphs, like you said, throughout this ecosystem a bit. But we have a team of these people, and each of us lead a team of consultants. And I would love the opportunity to lead the team of people who are leading the consultants. I really enjoy bringing order to chaos. I really enjoy identifying gaps in process and processing. And helping fill those in. I really enjoy leading high capacity people and leading other leaders. That's something I developed a great love for in my previous career. And there's a variety of things in front of me that I could probably do in the company that I work for now. But I think that's the one that I would most enjoy. And because our little company is growing, the opportunity for that does exist in the next couple of years. And so that's sort of a lightly shaded lens through which I'm viewing as I do all of my work. Of course, am I executing on the functions of my job now? Am I caring for and leading my team now to the best of my ability? But am I doing all these things in such a way that it's preparing me to be able to be valuable to the company and to say, to those who would ask in the company, what's next for you? I can then say, well, because of these things and the way, more importantly, the way that I did them, I believe I can bring value doing this.
It's another good point for, those who employ, right? Salesforce partners, Salesforce groups inside companies. I mean, anybody can benefit from this, but certainly thinking about always having, making sure that all of your team members always have a backdrop. Because I think that's how I would describe it, going back to your production background, right? It's essentially you are in your current scene today, right? Doing your current role. But as you look back from a perspective standpoint, you see that even as I continue on this role, my backdrop beyond me, time-wise, is always something that I can look at, I can imagine, and I can find it favorable. Because certainly I think that's a key dimension of why people, from a retention scenario, why they move on. Certainly there are toxic environments today, those are obvious. But the ones that are not so obvious is that I can have a great environment today, but if the backdrop for my team, if they look and they say there's not really an opportunity for me to scale here, for me to grow, there's not really an area where I can find my unique strengths and talents, really putting into play. I really only have the opportunity to become like this cog in this wheel because that's the pigeonhole, right? To mix metaphors there, that I am bit into. And so that's a really good point, and I'm delighted to hear that. Certainly, this is great, and I think there's a lot to benefit from here. I think one, I'm curious, Jad, if you had any kind of tip or suggestion for, like a hiring manager or, somebody who was looking to find someone, like you or someone who was kind of, this has this appetite to grow and to contribute. I'm curious what you would suggest to them, right? Was there any particular question or, any area to discover and uncover? What would be your suggestion?
Yeah, that's a really interesting thing to think about. I would say to a hiring manager, ask far more questions about how a potential person would go about doing the things you need them to do than what it is they can do. And that speaks, I think, to the technical versus the interpersonal. The landscape of potential employees appears to me, from my limited perspective, but appears to me flooded with people with that baseline of technical skills. It does not appear to be flooded with people full of high-value soft skills in the software landscape, such as communication, leadership, analysis, a consultative perspective. So if I was sitting in that chair, my assumption that is if the person is applying for the role, they've already made it through the baseline technical questions in our questionnaire, and I know that they can meet that baseline, and I would want to know who they are and who they intend to be within my company, and how they can contribute to the culture we are actively trying to build rather than simply help us deliver a product.
No, very good. And so switching the role now of someone who I've talked to, for example, already today, I've talked to three people who one has 8 years experience, one has 4 years experience, one has 2 years experience. All of them are not working today, having been laid off, in various, this is across two different countries as well. And so as people are thinking about that, we might have some layoffs coming up at the end of Salesforce's fiscal year as well, right? That will make news. So as you think of people who might be discouraged, or they might be, right? Some people have been looking for work for 8 months. What is an area, or kind of what would you have to say to them as they continue on their journey?
There's two things, and one of them really isn't relative to Salesforce. It's simply an encouragement, from somebody who has made a midlife career transition and said yes and committed to a variety of challenging things about which I had far less control than I was comfortable having. And that would simply be hang on and stay the course. Our perspective is so easily influenced by what we experience today, and none of us have the ability to know what we're going to experience tomorrow. If we did, boy, would we be in high demand. But just hang on. You never know. You never know what tomorrow's going to bring and what your perspective's going to be like. Another piece is trust the soft skills. Honestly, trust the soft skills. Bottom line is, I was able to be offered a position and be promoted, both of those things, honestly, much, much more quickly than I really probably should have been, especially technologically. And the reason for that wasn't baseline hard skills, and it wasn't experience, because I'm still very new to the ecosystem at 2 years, right? I'm a baby by standards of even the people you were just describing a moment ago. The reason that I've experienced what I have and I'm able to bring the kind of value that I do is because of soft skills, almost exclusively. I have the certs. I have set a goal for myself. I get a cert a quarter because I think that's valuable, and I'm a bit of a tech nerd, and I enjoy knowing those things and how to do them. But trust the soft skills. At the end of the day, as I think about my own job and trajectory, and I have my own, I'm thankful to be employed, and I have my own concerns about the economy and where the tech sector's going. I just made this huge transition into the tech sector, and a lot of people want to say it's on fire. I am choosing to trust in the soft skills as well. And I firmly believe that if something were to happen in my current situation, that I would be able to land. Not because I'm some software wizard or Salesforce wizard, but because I desire to be a quality worker, a people-first worker, a quality human being. And I think those are the kinds of things that fit in any industry, on any team, and help a company and a place be the kind of company and place it wants to be. So I would just encourage those folks to continue trusting those things, even when it's very easy not to, because you need that job so badly.
It's great feedback. And I think as we kind of wrap this up as a point of inspiration, I would say the same thing. I'll put it in the show notes, but there's a great book. It's called Range, How Generalists Triumph Over Specialists in a Specialized Age. And I love it because it really has a significant focus on the midlife transition and all of the accrued wisdom and how you, right, with a people first focus on those intangible soft skills can really turn that into a much more successful outcome on this venture. And there are so many right among our veterans. There's so many among so many careers that people just, they got burned out. They found out this isn't for me. I need to do something else. And we've had a great, they called it the Great Reset, right? Just a couple of years ago. And I think, or the Great Resignation, I think they called it.
That's right.
So it's a good time to be thinking about this. And I really appreciate your emphasis there. That's certainly what we want to help people as we think about trails and trials of people like yourself, right? Helping people recognize what are the things that actually work and yield the results they're looking for. Because almost every list you see online, if you just do a Google search or you go to ChatGPT and say, what do I need to do to grow in my Salesforce career? 9 out of 10 results will all tell you about technical skills, technical competence, and certifications, which I think, to your point, is a really good one. You've been able to accelerate your growth, not because of what you already knew and where you've already been, But because of those soft skills that demonstrated what you were going to know and where you will make sure you will be. And I believe that when it comes down to it, that's really what companies are looking for. They're looking for, like, any, you think about professional athletes and teams, right? They're looking for, yeah, I want you to be good, but I want the next Tom Brady, the person who, if you looked at his 40 time, not great. If you look at his ability to, sprint and dodge and all of this, not great. But he had other things that people were looking for. And so they got a champion at a great price for a long tenure. And any one of us can be our own little Tom Brady if we commit the work and focus on the right areas. And so that's great feedback. Best of success to you in
Thank you.
2025 and beyond. And we look forward to continuing the journey with you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sean. Appreciate the chat and the opportunity to speak meaningfully about good things here.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of Salesforce Trails and Trials. If you found this episode valuable, we would love your help reaching others. Please subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, and share this with another who would benefit.